today the main text is in Ephesians, but I'm going to have Edwina read something for us from Matthew 12. So if you'll find that, Matthew 12, 33. So Edwina, come on up.
Matthew 12, verses 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you begin evil, speaks good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil's treasures bring forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the days of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Heavenly Father, as always, we are touched by the words of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us now through the text that we have today. We ask you, Lord, to abide in us and cause us to bring forth good fruit, to be good trees bringing forth good fruit. So we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. All right, so we are actually continuing in our study in Ephesians. So we just have one verse from Ephesians today, and that's Ephesians 4:29. And I will read that to you, and that says this: Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So one of the Proverbs says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, the power to harm and to poison, or the power to, as it says in this verse, to edify and to impart grace. All right, we're constantly communicating, right? Your tongue is constantly it's constantly active, right? I think it would be interesting to know, like I said before, I love to count. You know, it'd be interesting to know how many times a day you speak. I really would like to know, or have an estimate. How many times a day does the average person speak? Is it 1,000 times a day? I wonder. Speech is practically the defining characteristic of what sets us above the animals. You know, you could almost say it's what defines being in the image of God, to speak, right? God said, let there be, and there was, right? In the beginning was what? Was the Word, right? The Word of God does what, right? And did what back in the beginning, right? God spoke and it created, right? Things came into existence. God, by his Word, built the cosmos. He framed the earth, right? The land and the sea and the sky. And then by the Word of God, he filled his creation with life, right? Filled his creation with glorious things. You know, let the earth bring forth green things, right? Let the earth bring forth beasts. Let the sea teem with living creatures. Let birds fly across the heavens, right? The Word of God creates and makes glorious things. And then as for the man and the woman, what did he say to them, right? It's God blessed them. Right, he blessed, and well, God bless you. God blessed them, and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Right, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the beasts of the earth, and over every living thing." Right, no corrupt word ever proceeded out of the mouth of God, did it? Okay, God's word is used to create and to fill, and he blessed, right? And the whole occasion was an occasion of glory and beauty and rejoicing. You know, there's poems in the Bible about, you know, when God laid the foundations of the earth and he determined its measurements and he stretched out a line over it, and the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, right? Rejoicing in his inhabited world. Okay, that's the word of God. But of course, ever since sin entered the world, men and women have used their words just as frequently to do ill as to do good. We've fallen very, very far from God's manner of speech, right? Which is that benediction and blessing and that, you know, life-instilling goodness. And look at how people use their speech. You know, it's a swampy mess of you know, cursing and things that hurt and things that demean right, as it says here, corrupting speech, right? 29, let no, not just corrupt itself, but corrupting, you know, causing further corruption. And our experience shows it's all too easy for both corrupt and corrupting talk to come out of our mouth, right? And that's because what comes out of the mouth, as Edwina read, it's a product of what's in the heart, right? God's heart it's pure and sinless and holy and good, right? God is love. So out of his mouth comes, you know, nothing but good and edifying things. And out of the mouth of our Savior, right? As never a corrupt word came out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus, right? He was a good man, and out of the good treasure in his heart, good things came, many good things, only good things. Okay, so for the rest of us, unfortunately, we can't say the same. There's another proverb, who can say, I have kept my heart pure? Right? Who can say, I am clean and free from sin? Right, James says the tongue is a restless evil, it's full of poison. He says all kinds of wild beasts have been tamed by man, but who can tame the tongue? Right, who can tame the tongue? Right, it's almost untamable. So somebody says, well, maybe you should just not say anything, you know, just zip your lip, don't say anything at all. But our whole existence involves communicating. I mean, this is how we relate to other people. And if you said nothing at all, well, that's what we've talked about before. Well, you might cease doing the negative, but what about the positive, right? If, you know, monks and so on, they take vow of silence, never say anything. Well, if you never say anything, how can you say, good job? You know, how can you say, I love you? How can you say, blessed be the name of the Lord? How can you say, I'm praying for you, let's pray together? How can you say, here, I'd like to help you? You know, it's just, you can cease the negative, but what about accomplishing the positive goodness that the Holy Spirit delights in? Okay, again, imagine if God was that way, you know, took a vow of silence. You know, he never says anything corrupt, but then there's no words of blessing, right? He never a word of mercy, never a word of comfort, right? That's not how he is. So, you know, we've been going through this paragraph now for a couple of weeks, the one that started in verse 25. It's not the first time in this section that our speech has come into view. Okay, if you go rewind to 25, you know, we already went over the topic of lying a couple of weeks ago, and that definitely counts as corrupt communication, right? Telling people things that are not true leads them astray, it causes harm, right? And all the misinformation and the fear-mongering and, you know, dishonestly hiding truth and the fake news and, you know, all of that is so unlike the Lord God, right? It causes harm, and a Christian must never plot to deceive or to lead people astray. And then there was anger in 26, and we said then, that also very frequently leads to hurtful words coming out of our mouth. You know, the name-calling, the swearing, the belittling, nagging, right? All of that, too, that's corrupt communication, right? And that's all around in the public conversation, isn't it? There's so much anger And there's so much rage and bitterness in the public conversation now. Okay, so we've touched on speech a couple of times already, but it's not only when you're telling a lie, and it's not only when you're angry that corrupt talk can proceed out of your mouth. Okay, often it's just in the regular course of daily activity that people casually curse and swear, and they're in a perfectly fine mood. You know, they could be having a lot of fun, you know, having a great time, but you know, all of this foul talk is coming out. So just, for example, go sit in the stands at a baseball game, and what do you hear? You know, go to a backyard picnic and, you know, just listen to how people talk, or go to somebody's office, right, and watch how the co-workers talk about each other, talk about the boss, talk about the work that they're doing. You know, just polluted talk is everywhere, okay? How much foul talk may a Christian use? What does it say here in verse 29? Not a word, okay? No corrupt talk. So make an end of it. Stop doing as the Gentiles do, right? And now, you know, what's past is past. Everybody said things that they regret saying or wish they hadn't said, or they know that we're impure. Okay, that's all right. Starting now, stop doing as the Gentiles do in the ungodliness of their lives, in the hardness of their hearts, because you have not so learned Christ, right? This is what we've been talking about all through this whole section. I get that, you know, so much of the language out there is, you know, well, use your euphemism, right? Colorful, risque, salty. Make up a word, right? Oh, you mean filthy? Is that what you're trying to get at? Dirty? Why don't you just say it's filthy and dirty, right? Instead of trying to pass it off with some of these like lighter words. Oh, it's off-color jokes, or it's salty talk, or look, see it for what it is. Say what it is, right? It's gross. It's dirt. It's sin. Okay? And Christians, separate yourselves from it. No corrupt word should ever come from you. Right? You want to be known as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, your talk gives you away, doesn't it? All right? How you use your language gives you away. So, not just dirty language, but indecent subject matter. Okay, which you can avoid cursing and still talk about indecent things. Haven't you seen how basically there's no indecent topic now that's kept quiet anymore? Like, there's practically nothing that the culture is too embarrassed to just time and time again and go on and on about. And I think about advertising, okay, let alone the actual TV shows that you watch, you know, the commercials. Over and over again, you know, they're about the most private parts of your body. They're about every bodily function, you know, things that should be kept in the bathroom or kept in the bedroom. Like, they're just right there coming across. Like, nobody is embarrassed about anything. We're not embarrassed to talk about. Yeah, I can tell you're not embarrassed, right? It used to be, you know, commercials were much more discreet and, you know, delicate about certain things. And now it's just like, let's talk about the things that happen in the bathroom. Okay, let alone the shows, right? Nothing now in television or film is off limits at all. And if you're my age, you have seen television progress over the last, say, 3 decades. We all know how the cursing has gotten worse and worse and worse on television, but not just the cursing. It's the subject matter, right? Everything that's crude and vulgar and shocking, and like, they're trying to push the envelope. Well, there's no envelope left, in my opinion. There's nothing left to push. Like, the envelope is in tatters. Everything that they can put on TV, they have. It seems to me there's no greater cesspool than what's out there in entertainment. Okay? And the irony is how they put a warning at the beginning of the show or on the record, okay, that says for mature audiences only. Or on music albums, it says parental warning, explicit lyrics. Okay, so you acknowledge that what you're publishing and broadcasting is full of filth, okay, and that it corrupts the innocent. Okay, you tell people Before you put the show on, before you run the reel, okay, you tell people you might not want to let your children see this because it's full of bad language, it's full of promiscuous sex, it's full of gore, like this is for mature audiences. Okay, I got it. Well, Christians have a different take on what it means to be mature, and that means that recognizing that your garbage is garbage, and it belongs in the garbage. Okay? And someday, thank the Lord, the world is going to be well rid of it all. Okay? You see, it's not just corrupt, it's corrupting. Right? You openly admit the fact when you tell me, maybe you don't want to let your children see this or listen to this. As if it's okay to corrupt the grown-ups, you know, just protect the children, right? Okay, so when a music label or the broadcasting system or the movie company tells you you should protect your children from this, take their word for it. Okay, what does the letter R mean in rated R? Do you know what rated R? What's R stand for? Anybody?
Restricted.
Why is it restricted? Okay, because it's corrupting. Okay, they're saying this is bad for children. Okay, some material may not be appropriate. Right, stop right there. You don't even have to say for children. Some material, right? So if the devil came and knocked on your front door and you answered the door and he presented you with his card and it says mayhem, misery, and filth at your service, let me into your house and you'll regret it, would you say, please, welcome, come make yourself at home. Have a seat, you know, make yourself comfortable. By the way, these are my children. Okay, looking ahead to what's in the next chapter, so if you have your Bible open still, look in chapter 5 and verse 3, and we can sort of touch on this now, where it says this, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, right? Saints is what you are, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, right? They're not fitting, but rather giving of thanks, right? Instead of those things, giving thanks. For you know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who's an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, so don't be partakers with them. Okay? As is fitting for saints, right? Unclean things and indecent things, like they shouldn't even be joked about. Like they just should not be part of the subject matter of your casual conversation. So Jesus said, and we read it, for every idle word men speak, they'll be called to account for it on the day of judgment. Okay? Good trees, good fruit, right? A good man bringing out good things from the treasure of his storehouse, right? By your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you're going to be condemned, right? By your words. Okay? I have lived a long time in this wasteland. I've heard a lot of bad language. I've participated in it. Okay, I've heard a lot of dirty jokes. A lot of ungodly things have, from TV and from movies and just from the culture, have made themselves at home in my memory. Okay, and add to that the things that people say out of envy, out of anger, like people, you know, the insults, the gossip, the sarcasm, the put downs and the swear words. Like there is this significant store of corrupt talk that's sort of lurking around inside, right? It's gone in, right? It's like Jesus said, stuff that gets stored up in your heart. And, you know, it saddens me to say from personal experience that the things that you fill your head and your heart with, that's what's going to come out of your head and out of your heart. Okay, once they go in, you know, it's sort of hard to get rid of. It's hard to dislodge from in there. And thank God that the Holy Spirit has the power to cleanse you. Okay, he's powerful. Like Paul says, who's going to rescue me out of this body of death? Yes, I can't wait to be rescued, right? But you've got to want to be cleansed. Okay, so your old man that we've been talking about, he's got to be starved and killed and put off. Okay? You can't keep feeding him the sorts of things that he lives on. Okay? If you don't want corrupt communication to come out, don't let it go in. And the things that you see and read and hear can't be unseen and unread and unheard. Okay? So you have to be a judge of everything that you watch and hear. And I will say this especially to you young, okay, because you're the most media-saturated generation that has ever existed, okay? But to any age, the harm that it does, right? You maybe you're not old enough to have learned the hard way, the harm that these things do. You have to live to see the consequences. But take it from people who are older, they do harm, okay? They do, you regret them later. Okay, and you have to make a decision, and I say this to everybody, every day and every time and every choice of what to consume, like what do you watch, what do you read, what do you listen to, you have to feed the new man, okay? You have to feed him things that are holy and good and true and beautiful and decent and clean, okay? And, you know, the foul talk and the anger and the sexual impurity and the darkness, those things should hinder your ability to enjoy what you see. You know, I used to like this sort of kind of movie, but I just tell you, you know, I've really lost a taste for it. I can't enjoy it anymore. Okay? The Holy Spirit wants you to turn away from those sorts of things. Okay? Hear the scripture again from Ephesians 5. Because of such things, the indignation of God is coming upon the disobedient. So the Lord tells us, come out of Babylon so that you don't share in her punishment, right? Come out, right? Separate yourselves. And he says, don't be deceived by empty words, like that's reviews, right? This movie is, you know, 5 stars, right? This is art. This is an instant classic, you know? Your friends tell you this is the greatest, you know, you've got to see this, you've got to read this, you know? It's a hilarious comedy, or it's a very tense, gripping drama, whatever. But is it of the darkness or is it of the light? Okay? You have to cultivate a taste for things that are good and lovely and redeeming. Okay? And then the things that are corrupting, I don't like it. I don't want it in my brain. I don't want it in my heart. Okay? And if you turn away from those things, it's better for your spiritual health and it's better for your testimony to the Lord Jesus. Okay? So scripture says here in verse 29, 4:29, things that are edifying, things that impart grace to the hearers. If you have the English Standard Version, it adds the word only. Okay, let me read you that version. The ESV of 29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Well, that's a new way to look at life, isn't it? Only such things as are good for building up, right? Only if it's good. So what do you speak 1,000 times a day? He wants you to be batting 1,000 for things that are good, right? There's that verse from Philippians that says, do everything without complaining or arguing. That would really be a switch. How can I get there, right? Because complaining and arguing, that comes pretty naturally to me, right? That's Philippians 2:14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. And the next verse has the motivation, so that you may become blameless and harmless. Okay, that's beautiful. You may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you live as lights in the world. Okay, that's beautiful. It's Philippians 2:14 and 15. Only wholesome things. Only if it's good for building up. Okay, in other words, when those words come to the tip of your tongue that are otherwise, send them away, right? Leave them unsaid. Don't proceed, right? Suppress and purge. Choose an alternative thing to say that would be fitting for a saint. Okay? So this is what Paul says In the rest of chapter 4, which we'll get to next week, he says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and all malice be put away from you. Okay, all of that is out. And, you know, throw in the complaining and arguing, that's out too. And what's in, only what benefits, only what imparts grace. Okay, that's different, isn't it? You know a lot of people like that? Only what's great, what's edifying and imparting of grace. This is putting on the new man, right? Created to be like God. God's word, let there be light, let there be life, right? That benevolence and blessing and upbuilding and giving growth and showing mercy and making peace, okay? What about your enemies, right? Jesus says, love them, bless and do not curse. Right, let your speech be full of grace, it says in Colossians. Okay, so obviously this is going to take some effort. It's going to take self-control. It takes you have to be conscientious, right? Tame the tongue. Put a bridle on your tongue, right? Not, you know, zip your lip and never say anything. Okay, but no, train your tongue, right, to put it in the habit of saying things that are full of grace. Right, so that they impart grace, so that they build up the saints. Right, and as you live in the love of the Lord, this gets more habitual. Okay, you want to see other people do well and to thrive. You want to see obstacles overcome as a team rather than as adversaries. You want to have all your relationships be on good terms, that sort of thing. As you live in Christ, you want to see everyone else doing well, right? That's the gentleness, patience, and kindness of God starts to come from you. Okay, that's good fruit from a good tree. So Jesus says, by your speech, by your wholesome communication, you'll be justified. Okay, that's because of the Holy Spirit. So have you ever heard the, it's sort of a little, I don't know, an axiom, a little funny joke, I guess, that says, before putting mouth in gear, make sure brain is engaged. Have you ever heard him say that? Okay, before you put your mouth in gear, make sure your brain is engaged. Okay, that's good advice. I would just add it a little bit and give it a Christian flavor, I guess, and say that make sure your heart is engaged, right? Before putting your mouth in gear, make sure you're, right, the heart of Christ, the heart of the gospel, right? Engage the new man, right? Engage the new nature, then speak. Right, don't just, you know, I'm not just, you know what, I'm just going to lock up my lips, I'll never say anything. No, just engage the heart of Christ, and then you can put your mouth in gear. Okay, so just a couple of examples from the scripture by way of wrapping up. 2 Corinthians 1, Paul talks about comforting words. Okay, he says, blessed be the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulations, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the same comfort that we've received from God. Okay, so words of comfort, right? Make sure that plenty of those are coming out of your mouth. Acts 16, that was 2 Corinthians 1, if you're writing down the notes. Acts 16, let me read you this. It says, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely, and the jailer put them into the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were all listening. Okay, and you know the kind of words that they spoke to the jailer who threw him in there. Right? Don't harm yourself. Right? We're all still here. And what else? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and your whole household. Right? And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. Right? Bless and do not curse. Philippians, I thank my God every time I remember you, and I always make mention of you in every prayer of mine with joy. Okay, great words to come out of your mouth, words of blessing. At the end of Philippians, he says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Right, so that's good fruit coming out of a good tree, right? 1 Timothy says about using the Bible. Okay, that's is it 2 Timothy? It's for teaching, it's for reproving, it's for correcting, it's for training in righteousness. Okay, you can reprove, right? It's not corrupt communication to reprove. Just do it in a way that's not sinful. Okay, so I remember Moses at the rock. You know, Moses lost his temper and yelled, "You rebels!" And you know, we've all done our share of that, right? You lose your cool, and all right. Many situations, though, call for tact, for sensitivity, right, for delicacy, and you can't just go blundering in there and beat people over the head and swinging Bible verses around all the time, right? That's a sword, right? It's a sharp thing. You got to be careful with that, right? Just watch what you do with it, okay? And God said to Moses, "You dishonored me before the people, okay? You failed to sanctify me before the people, okay? So peace, patience, kindness, like I said, tactfulness. You can reprove, right? It says if your brother sins, reprove him. And if he repents, forgive him. Okay, so there's that gentleness and respect, and I think that's what Paul means by fitting for the occasion, right? As befits the occasion. Yes, you saw the Lord, you know, turn over the tables and, you know, you hypocrites, and, you know, you see that. And of course, the Lord never sinned, and no corrupt word ever came out of his mouth. And sometimes, you know, very great boldness and directness is called for. There's a place where Paul says, would you like me to come to you in love and gentleness or with a rod? You know, I'll come with a rod if that's what the situation calls for. I'd prefer to come the other way. Okay, sometimes that is necessary, but that's rare, I think. It's pretty rare. And as for you and me, I think we're much more inclined to fall into sin when we're indignant. Okay, so we've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit at all times and let him lead us. And okay, only what's good for necessary edification. So, I mean, there's a challenge at least for one day. Do you think you can bat 1,000 for the rest of the day? Had this other joke that's been in my head the last couple of times, maybe because there's so many lies out in the public discourse, but that and I don't like telling jokes, really. How can you tell when a politician is lying to you? Because his lips are moving, right? Okay, well, it's not very nice. But it just reminded me what it should be for a Christian. You know, how can you tell if a Christian loves you, cares about you, wants what's best for you, has the Holy Spirit dwelling in him? How can you tell? Well, it should be whenever his lips are moving. Okay, only what's good for necessary edification. Do we think we can get there? Well, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. That's where he wants us to go, right? So as we walk with Christ and walk in him, let's just see to it that the things that we say, everything that comes out of your mouth, builds up the body and brings glory to our Savior. All right, with that said, let's pray. And with that, we will glorify our Lord as well. And we invite him to correct us, to teach us, and to make us new. Lord Jesus Christ, as always, we are grateful to you for your work of renewal in our hearts and lives. Thank you for shedding your blood, laying down your life so that we could belong to God. And now, Lord Jesus, that you have redeemed us, we ask that you would continue to form this image of God, the image of yourself, the perfect man within us. Control our speech. Help us to delight, Lord, in things that are good and pure and decent, rather than the dirty and the dark things from the world. And help us to just be turned away from those, to find them repellent and ugly as they are, as they truly are. And to delight, Lord, in things that are holy and true and righteous. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. Thank you for the lessons from your word. And we simply pray for each other, Lord, that you would help us to overcome the flesh and to live in the Holy Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.